For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code POD.
Ladies and gentlemen, guess who's here with a not live episode? Episode 101.
I know. We're back to a normal episode today. Love it. I was just thinking about this before I went out and did field work on the live, and I was like, you know, we're back to business, back to normal episode, doing our thing, and, you know, on our way to the next milestone. Like, to me, it's like a very near milestone, I guess, but 104 is like 2 full years worth of podcasts, which is kind of crazy. So that's a very weird. We probably won't celebrate that one in the fashion that we did before, but still a cool milestone. And then I think for me, Robbie, it's episode 200 is the next milestone.
Dude, it's I think if I'm like setting goals, because soon we'll have the In the Bag YouTube channel up, and like goals are by 200. I would love to have, so that's 100 episodes, obviously. By goal 200, I would love to be between like probably 10 to 20,000 subs on that channel would be,
that'd be great.
Incredible. Mm-hmm.
But hey, we'll give you all the details on that. Tentatively speaking, that possibly is going live next week. We've got some internal things we're discussing and make sure we can make the filming and stuff work next week. But when Robbie's up here, which is always exciting. But hopefully, you know, maybe next week, definitely by the following week, we'll have the episode or the channel up and ready to go. And, you know, everybody counts. As many people can go over there and subscribe, that helps us out a ton. And then also, you know, drive us to do some more content over there. We've talked about a bunch of content you all want to see, different things you want to see, and that's a great place to do it. So I'm looking forward personally to getting that up and running.
Dude, it's going to be a blast. It's going to be a blast. Mm-hmm. Personally, I can't wait. But also can't wait. We've got a very special guest, longtime listener from like probably episode one. I'm pretty sure Wes has been around from the beginning. And Wes is a dear friend of mine, helps out in my Discord a whole lot for the Birdie fam, and has recently lost a disc near and dear to him. And so we were talking and he in fact said, if only there was a platform of experts that could help me try to dial in this spot that I'm missing after everything had gone down. And I was like, Wes, it's time. Mm-hmm. Brought me to like a Rafiki moment of it's time. So
yeah,
we'll have a good day with it, Brad. I'm excited. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into the West Side podcast. Here we go. West Side with no actual West Side in the bag.
West of the
West Side. Yeah. Welcome in, Wes. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you guys?
we're doing great. Our transitions are not on point right there per se, but we'll get back there. We'll get back to it.
I was going to say, do we need to start over? Are we good? Like, no.
Hey, no, we can't do that. We just send it all, you know, good, the bad, you know, I throw live, people see all the bad. So that's what we're about.
Fair enough.
We'll grow together.
Fair enough.
Yeah. It's, it definitely, for those of you behind the scenes, something that if you were, you'll always know if you were ready on when we recorded episode 101, because some of you are going to get to hear that intro twice.
That's true. But 12 of you, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So, but it's a great time. We're dialed in. We got Wes here. Wes, I'm excited for this. Cause I think this disc that we're going to end up recommending, we're going to end up talking distance drivers. which is fun. But I
I'll go ahead and say it. This one was not even close. Like, this is not even close.
All right.
The two disc I tried, you might have put this disc in my hand and then like a trash can lid. Not that the other disc was trash, but like that's just how good this other disc was. Like, it made me forget about all other discs. I mean, I may just bag a bag of only these discs.
That's high praise. But,
dude, it's
especially for you, because I, again, you're one of the rare people that I feel like I know. One, I know you, but number two, like, I kind of know your game a little bit, like from a far stretch. And Robbie really knows your game, so
right.
I can't wait. I can't wait. That's all I got to say.
Yeah.
Well, Wes, I know your game. Brad's familiar with your game. Let's let the people get to know your game. And we set you up. I was like, longtime listener, but we've had to prep to get Wes on the show. Like, we just had to find the right time.
I mean, it only took you guys 100 episodes of practice to be ready for me. So,
right. We had to make sure we were 100% prepared for you to be on here. And here it is. We were not prepared. We went live on accident, but you're here anyway. So we can only go flustered. Up from here. Yeah.
No worries.
But Wes, we got a couple questions we ask. The first being, how long have you been playing?
So I have been heavy into disc golf since late summer, early fall of 21. I played for probably 2.5-3 years immediately out of high school back in like 08 to probably 09 to 2012. And then my buddies that I played with went off to college. I didn't have anybody to play with. I, you know, put my little Innova shoulder bag full of DX discs on the shelf and then picked it back up after going to my wife's family reunion. And some of her cousins had brought their bags to do field work while they were being antisocial. And I was like, hey, that sounds awesome. And immediately fell back in love with it.
Dude.
Very cool.
That itch. It's one of those, like, I know a lot of folks have never done field work before. Like, truly, I know there are so many disc golfers that have never gone to a field to throw. And they're like, because it just sounds really boring. But to me personally, like, I feel like when you get the chance sometime to just go do some field work, if you've been struggling lately, not only will it like help fixing your game sometimes, but it also just can remind you of like getting to see discs fly. Which I know for US especially is like a big passion. Like, you want to see those big discs, like those big shots pan out and things like that. Mm-hmm. Not that you're afraid of the woods, because you crush in the woods, but let's talk distances, because you're a little further thrower than I would say our traditional guests. So if we put you in a field and we were like, hey Wes, I'm gonna put this basket X amount of feet away from you, how far are you reaching that basket on like some golf lines and even some max distance lines, forehand and backhand?
So I would say backhand, I'm pretty comfortable out to like 375. I was doing some field work trying to find this spot that we're going to talk about today. And my helper that was gathering my discs kept walking to about 360. And I mean, I was like, it was like he put a wall there and I was just parking him every time. But I was getting some, you know, on a course, I feel like 375, I can normally reach the circle. So, you know, that could be 340, that could be whatever. Max distance rips, I've hit 400 a couple times, like during round play. And then, you know, you put me on the right hill with the right wind, I've hit 495 according to UDisc, absolute max rip, but I'm not counting that up as a usual event.
That's fair.
Forehand, in a wide open field, if I hit it perfectly, 200 maybe. I mean, Robbie knows my forehand is hot trash. I have zero faith in it. I trust the government more than I trust my forehand. It's bad.
And there's the quote of the someone throwing that as a comment. And it's if this statement resonates with your soul, click this button. Yeah. That's getting all the likes on this one.
That's funny.
What a time. I would agree. Your forehand is it's a work in progress. So I'm not going to say that it's hot trash, but I am going to say that it is something that we're trying to grow
I will say, to give myself a little bit of forehand credit, I can forehand putters, I can forehand lid type discs better than a lot of the forehand players that I know. But you put like a 5-speed in my hand and I could not tell you where it's going to end up. Anything above that, it's sketchy.
Hi. And we will continue to work on it. That's goals of 2024. Get Wes more of a forehand and win MA2.
I've already got like, one MA2 win.
Well, yeah, win more MA2, I should say. We're back in the fighting phase. Yeah. So let's take you and put you on the putting green. And we're like, okay, here on the putting green, we got you lined up 10 putts from 15 feet, 10 putts from 25, 10 putts from 40 feet. How many are you making at each station?
So I did this yesterday. I did it twice. So I have 20 samples, but 15 feet, I made 19 out of 20. 25 feet, I made 16 out of 20. And then 40 feet, I made 5. So okay. Putting is definitely like snuck up and become a stronger part of my game. And I'm not going to say I'm the best putter in the world. I'm no Marweed or Yuli or whoever's the best right now. But for the 900 rated player that I am currently until next week's update and it goes down, among the top end of MA3, MA2, I'm one of the better putters in my area. I feel confident in saying that.
And I appreciate that. That's Brad. I know you got to play yesterday, and just watching the 5 people that are on that card, how much did that, like, did putting come into play, especially on like the shorter layout of Hideaway?
So Jason actually gave me a very nice compliment this morning. He said, quote, "That is the best I've ever seen you putt." He's like, "Your putt just is on." And he's like, he said that if I walked up to a putt, he said that he knew I was going to make it yesterday. So it's definitely like the butter has been like a relief to my putting. So I would say that anything inside of 25 feet, I pretty much made yesterday without even having to think too much about it. I made some longer ones too. Yeah. And I do think that is probably the difference. And because I mean, I played a really good round yesterday at Hideaway. I went 3 down on the front 9, and then I made some bad choices on the back because I was trying to beat Kyle, which I really wanted to beat Kyle. He beat me by 1 stroke. But I will say, probably to your point, Wes, like that putting like element is the difference between my like top third and middle third. Like if my putt is on, then I feel confident and I play the rest of my game well, because I'm like, okay, there's a lot less pressure that if I land, okay, I don't need to land like 5 feet from the basket today. I can land like 30 feet out and feel pretty decent. So it takes a lot of like pressure from approaches, takes a lot of pressure from even tee box shots, especially on a shorter course like Hideaway.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, Robbie acting as, you know, my coach for the last, we're in the middle of year 2 now, I think. I think the most common text that he will get mid-round from me is just like, my putt is off today. And like, it won't be like, hey, I can't hit a line, I can't, you know, it's always just my putt is, it's not working. Like if there's a disaster, that's what the cause is.
Yeah. Putting makes or breaks a round. I firmly believe that. So
I even go to, Vinny was on Tour Life. So of course it's one of the episodes that I watch the whole thing. Because if Calvin Heinberg's there, I'm probably listening. Yeah. That's not an offense to Tour Life, just more of a love of, Calvin Heinberg. I'll listen to a whole Smashbox episode.
Shout out to Melton for being on there too. Melton's always a good time,
dude. Amen. I will say, watch the video, not the audio version, because the podcast version, I literally was watching some of it live, didn't notice it, and then I went to finish it on Spotify, and Melton, it sounds like, is trying to like send messages via like Morse code, because he's like smacking the bottom of his phone the whole podcast.
Oh my gosh.
So if you listen to the audio version, y'all, tough listen.
I think he said his phone died twice. Okay. I don't know if he was like trying to jam the charger in there or what, but anyway.
Wild. But Vinny, and then we're talking about scrambling as a stat and how scrambling is tough because, you know, If you don't go OB that much, your scramble stays higher, but also scrambling is also a putting stat. And so Vinny was like, I'm a good putter, so it's probably why my scrambling is so high, is because I don't have to put it as close as other people do, because I just make the putt. And I was like,
that's interesting. Touche.
Yeah,
so this carries all the way
up. You cover up a lot of mistakes with a 30-foot and in putt.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say even a 20-foot and in putt. Like, imagine with all the MA3 tournaments that you see, things like that. Like, even, yeah, yesterday, I know if you're looking at Hideaway, you've got Jason, Nate, Brad, Kyle, Clayton. I guarantee you Clayton shot like 11 down or something like that.
He shot 11 down.
And he did not miss. I bet my life that he didn't miss 20-foot putts.
He only missed one putt, I think, yesterday, and it was from like 50 feet.
Yeah. So you take the rest of the crowd and it's like, I can almost guarantee that, like, yeah, someone messed up a 25er or in for every other person on the card at least once during the round. So
yeah, I feel like for MA3, circle one is the deciding factor. Like, if you can hit in circle one in MA3, you're going to win tournaments. My experience so far in MA2 has been, you probably need a little more distance. Sometimes, you know, there's holes that are pars in MA3 that need to be birdies in MA2, and that's just going to keep going up as you go up. But you can cover up a lot if you're trying to win MA3, MA4, just make your putts.
And not to get caught up on putting or like Clayton's putting, because I know I can go on a tangent with him, but I just want to say I desire to have, and anyone that's played with him can vouch for me, but I desire, like, the confidence I have when I step up to like a 5-foot putt, like a tap in, he has that same confidence at 20 feet. He doesn't even, like, he doesn't pause. He's like, okay, whatever. He doesn't care who's walking in front of the basket or what's happening. He's just like, oh, in. And I'm just like, you know, you have a lot of practice behind your putt when you're just like 20 foot or whatever. Yep, easy tap in. See
it. Well, you just said, you know, yesterday you made all your putts within 25 feet without really thinking about it, right? And like, the thing that really changed my putt is if I'm just picking up discs that, you know, and like tossing them into the bed of my truck or just tossing them into the basket and not like really. You know, some people need to focus on the one chain link. I'm not that guy. I'm just like, just put it there, like just casually, and it works. So sometimes it's,
I'll say that
taking the pressure off yourself allows you to do it.
Yeah, I'll say I did miss. There's like one really dumb. So I made, let's just say 90%. Yeah. But that's exactly right, Wes. I think the thing that's really helped my putting stay on is all I'm thinking about is my follow through. Like, I'm visually looking at the center of the chains, but I'm thinking about like my hand is going into that basket right now.
Yeah.
And like that has really changed my confidence. And like, yeah, there's like, I'm eliminating all these other variables. Like, okay, I needed like this second chain here and what's the wind like and whatever. But really at like 20 feet, I just need to like, my form needs to be like consistent. I just need to like put the disc in through the chains and like follow through with it.
Yeah.
And I can tell immediately if I don't follow through or my hand's a little to the right or whatever, cause I miss.
So, y'all, I'm going to move us off of putting.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
Not because it's not good conversation. Not because of that.
The people aren't here for putting. The people are here for the bag.
Oh, man. Here we go. The, you know, that Robbie C, he's just a stickler for putting. He doesn't want us to throw far. First off, I want everyone to throw far. I just want you to be able to make your putts
first. You get Robbie and two of his students in a conversation, there's going to be putting conversation. It's inevitable.
That's the goal. We started the basket and work back, everyone. So looking at your bag, Wes, this is one of those that I know in preparation and part of why we've had to wait till episode 100, right, to get it all dialed in, is because, not that you're a student of the show, but like when we talk about this balanced approach to a bag, you really have tried to adopt this into your bag. So I think that especially on the lower part of the bag, there will be a lot less of us like going, oh, what if you did this instead of this and things like that? Because those are conversations that you and I have already offline.
It looks really solid.
I have listened to every episode of the podcast. Like I took the principles early on and tried to apply them. I've got my own kind of methodology, but it's heavily influenced by the podcast. So.
Awesome. So I know that we won't recommend a ton. We'll spend, honestly, I want to like not move through it fast for the sake of moving through it fast, but I think the discussion amongst the three of us is going to be much more fascinating at the top end versus at the bottom end, because the bottom end, the final question that we didn't end up asking is, what would you say is like the biggest strength of your game? And I have an answer for you, but I would love to hear your answer as well.
I have been told, and I agree with it, that my lack of a forehand has allowed one of the strengths of my game to be a turnover backhand. I love patent pending shots. I will happily throw it. Like, most of my standstills end up being kind of patent pending anyway, just because it's, I think that's kind of the right stance to get into for a throw. You know, the reason we do the X step is to kind of get in that offset stance. But I love a good turnover. Yeah, that would be the strongest part of my game, I would guess.
Yeah, the only alternative I would offer is Wes's strength to his game is anytime he can throw a tomb.
That is,
if you can get that man.
I've heard that.
To throw that disc, that mold, I guess I should say, because you have multiple in the bag. It showcases something that I mentioned in a video on my channel recently of like, five tips to improve, like five of my favorite tips to improve. And one of them was find a disc that you can throw 250 feet and in with absolute confidence and buy 10 of them. Like push that so that you feel that, like that overwhelming confidence. And I think to even the round that we played at Peaks View, where sure, it's a shorter course, sure, like those technically like balance scales and everything, but it was me throwing my pigs versus you throwing your tombs in a comfort battle, which is like huge.
And I think you got me by a stroke, which was like a putt.
Yeah.
So it was a good time.
And at that point you hadn't found your confidence in your putt yet.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, I was going to get to that when we, you know, talked about them, but I guess that's the segue we need, right? Like,
yeah.
Let's get into
it. A couple things to preface my bag with. I am on Team Infinite. Very grateful for them for supporting me. If Team Infinite called me after this podcast is over and said, "Hey, you're cut, you're the worst player on the team," my bag would not change. My bag was set up this way before I was on Team Infinite. It's an open bag situation, so I can do, you know, whatever I want. I happen to have a lot of their molds because I like them. And then when I talk about discs, like a disc being straight, because this is something that me and Robbie have kind of disagree on. I'm talking about like 150 feet out of your hand. Is that thing turning? Is it fading? Is it going straight? Like, I assume that all discs are going to have some fade, because the physics of flight is, unless you're turning it into a roller, it's going to fade a little bit at the end if it's given enough time. So, yeah, it'll finish. But if it's flying straight, it's flying straight until that point. So, talking about the tomb specifically, I happened to find one at a used bin locally, and that disc has done more for my disc golf game in multiple ways than anything else that I think I've ever done or tried or whatever. Part of it because it led me to Infinite and their molds, and part of it because it's the way Robbie talks about his pig is the way that I feel about my tomb. It's obviously not as overstable as a pig to start, but it's a pretty straight disc. It's got a bead, so it's torque resistant. You can put some power onto it. It's one of those discs that, like, it can teach you what your mistake is, right? Because it's a 0-1, so it's got a little bit of stability, but it's not crazy flippy. It's not super overstable, but you know, if you're yanking over, it's going to turn. If you're throwing on too much hyzer, it's going to hyzer. And so a lot of my game has been then based on the tomb. So like, if you look at my seven speeds, it's like, all right, what'll fly like the tomb, but further, you know? So that's kind of the way that I've built my bag, is the tomb is my straight putter disc. And then I go up in speed for straight discs. And then I find, all right, what's a stable complement to this straight disc, and what's a flippy complement to this straight disc.
And would you say the yellow one because one thing that I do appreciate about like someone that really knows their discs and has them seasoned and is trying to like, if you love the tomb, you can put multiple copies in. Wes, if y'all are looking at the flight chart for our visual watchers, or if you head over to Disc RPM to check out Wes, you'll find Wes Fast because he has a lot of great tournament great dies in his bag, which looks incredible. He also has really capitalized on what Disc RPM does because he also has his glow bag in there, discs that are not bagged, things like that. So I appreciate that when people really try to like lean in and show. So you'll see West Tournament Collection, but you've adjusted the numbers on the yellow tomb to being 3-4 -1-0, which is a pretty big jump from 1-0, like to flip those numbers that hard. Yeah. So I'm not saying that it is your quote precious child, but like,
it is.
That's okay.
It's, you know, you say if I can throw a tomb, it's if I can throw the yellow tomb, it's it. I tried to put the numbers to where, like, if this disc was thrown flat, how it would fly. So the yellow tomb flat will drift. It's not going to have a hard fade on it. 9 times out of 10, I'm going to throw it on some hyzer and get that hyzer flip straight shot with it. My blue tomb is newer. It's more stable. The yellow one's also like 169, I think. So it's a little bit lighter. Champion plastic C blend. So it's nice and durable. And it's held its stability for a long time and it's really reliable for me.
Okay. One of the rays is the AVRX 3 clone. And then the one thing that I wanted to like ask in sort of like the confusion side of things, I know how the Ursus flies. We'll talk about the Ursus in a second, but the Rays and the Ruin, anything in particular that like makes you go from one to the other?
Yeah. So the Ruin is a tomb OS and the Rays is like an Alpaca OS, if that makes any sense. So like, I put with alpacas, which are P2s, fireflies, you know, roaches. It's that beadless kind of deep putter. The Rays I'll use for like more approach shots, like maybe 100 feet and in, something that I'm going to throw on a hyzer. The Rays is also one that feels more comfortable on a forehand if I absolutely need it. Whereas the Ruin is going to be my overstable throwing putter. 3-3-0-3, I think, are the numbers on that. So the cool thing about, at least I think it's a cool thing about Infinite, is they take Innova molds and like combine top and bottom halves from different things, or their old discontinued, like Dismania runs, old discontinued Innova runs, things like that. So the tomb is a rat top and a Colt bottom. So it's got a really like square corner flat top. The Ruin is the rat top with a Rhino X bottom. So it's got this really like flat top, sharp, kind of jagged, some say it's like a mega bead because but it's just long.
It's a wall.
Yeah, it's a wall. So for my, it doesn't work on my forehand because it, you know, it hooks on the meat here in my hand. But, you know, if I'm in a headwind and I need a tomb shot, I'm going to that. If I need something that's going to go straight for 200 feet and then like die and fade over, I'm going to throw that. So yeah, that's, one's more of a tee shot. The other's more of an approach.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah. Brad, when's the last time that you held a Rhino in your hands?
Just a few weeks ago. I don't even remember why I picked one up, but I was going by the end of a shelf. I'm like, Rhino. And I picked it up.
Yeah. The bead on the Rhino. You know what? I'm a pig guy. So, and I'm not a person who's going to openly come out and be like, I hate beads, things like that. Cause there are people that for some reason take that stance, but for the Rhino Nation out there, you got to let me know, like, how does that thing not shred your finger on a forehand?
It does not feel great.
Well, say, and the Rhino is an overstable disc on its own. And this is from the Rhino X, which is like, hey, let's take that and make it stupid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fascinating. But you know, part of, I'll say there could be jealousy because of the fact that the Rhino Nation with that wall of extra plastic, somehow that can be molded in premium plastic, but my babies can't.
Wolves, rhinos, Sonics. Yeah, the Wolf. They'll do anything but a pig. I saw
the Wolf. The Wolf coming out. That one's like a stake to the heart a little bit. I hurt for you on that one.
That's fine. That's fine. They gave us Halo, quote. You know.
We didn't ask specifically. There's even a premium Thumbtrack Innova disc that's headed out. So, I mean, I'm holding out hope for the pigs. That's got to work at some point.
Insane, guys. Insane. But what's not insane is you do bag some pretty interesting mids. So part of this, I think initially if we looked at your mids, people would be like, oh, you don't really bag that many mids. Mm-hmm. Interesting. But I think because if we just assume that your tombs fly far and you just slot all your five speeds as if there were four speeds and all your three speeds as if there were four speeds and we just merged them, you're like, oh, yeah, I guess there really are no gaps there. Yeah, like it covers itself really well.
Like I can get my tombs to 300 feet if I've got a little bit of elevation help. It's not a common occurrence again, but like it's possible. They're just so glidey. They'll just go. Yeah. So like, as I was talking earlier, you know, the hex is, that's my long tomb. Like it's going to give me a similar shot shape to the tomb, but go a little further. And one of the things that's been happening is because I can throw the tombs as far as I can, the hex is getting less and less airtime. You know, pun intended, I guess. But it's just, I like it a lot. I'm still working on like figuring out the gap where it covers between my tombs and then like my seven speeds. But it's nice to have in the bag for it. I'm like, you know, I don't have the power right now with the tomb. I do have the power, but I need to go 325 rather than 300 or whatever the case may be.
Yeah. So the Ursus. Wes, you've been an Ursi guy for longer than most people, for sure. I think about the fact that when
I've peer pressured both of you into trying the Ursus and it hasn't struck yet.
You almost have these premium Eric Oakley ones. You almost had me. Almost. I'm still not sold that I'm not going to bag it.
So that's sell the people. And Brad, talk about why or why not, like where you're struggling. But Wes, give us the elevator pitch on, because Eric Oakley in on the Ursus now. And everyone's going to be like, oh, Eric brought it into light. And it's like, man, my boy Wes in West Virginia has been pushing this thing longer than Eric.
I'm in Virginia. I just happen to be at the part that's surrounded by West Virginia on three sides. So it's West Virginia, right?
Yeah, that's true.
The Ursus is what I wanted a Rock 3 to be. I got my hands on a Rock 3 and I was like, oh, you know, this should go straight and give me like a reliable fade, kind of a dumpy fade. It's a 0-3, right? Like, I know flight numbers are subjective is a nice way to put it. But I got a Rock 3 and it was like flippy and it was like an old Macbeth Rock 3 that they like factory second and overstamped over. And it wasn't doing it for me. The Ursus feels a lot like a Rock 3 in the hand to me. It is a little more stable than that. Nice flat top, beaded bottom. It's produced by a company called Terminal Velocity, who has a manufacturing agreement with Legacy. So my understanding is it's very similar to the Recluse, which is kind of their... Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's their flagship mid. I don't know a lot about Legacy, but I know like if people are talking Legacy, you've probably heard of the Recluse. I know, you know, when I talked to you into trying it, Robbie, you're like, hey, it's good, but it doesn't beat out the Justice. I've heard other people be like, yeah, the Verdict, it's kind of in that same vein. It's got that overstability, but it's still got some glide to it, which is nice. So you can put it out there a little while and still rely on it to come back.
Mm-hmm. I think for me, because I was struggling finding that like overstable mid, like to replace the Bobcat, and I was like, maybe this is the time for the Ursus. And the only thing that keeps me away from the Ursus, and this is probably just a me problem, is When I found the Quake, so I have like the Glow Midnight Flyer Quake, I can just throw it so much farther than I can the Ursus. And like for me, if I'm going, if I'm jumping up from like my overstable Envy, this is maybe like a tomb. Envy is my tomb. So if I'm going for like that, like overstable dumpy shot, I'm just going to throw, because I can throw my Envies really far, I'm going to throw an Envy out on hyzer, like more hyzer than I normally would to get that flight. If I want that like really overstable mid range, I typically go to that if I need like the distance, like, so hole two at Timbrook is a great example. I throw the Quake on that and I'm going to get an ace one day, keep smacking the basket. But, I like to hang it out super wide to the left, give it some air time, and then I like it to dump out at the end. So I don't want something that's going to just die very quickly. I know the Ursus has more glide than you think it would probably. But for me, it's just like the Quake, I could just throw so much further. It had more of a like a really straight flight than very overstable, versus like for me, the Ursus was more of like overstable the whole way, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So like, I'm trying to think, at Falling Creek, I want to say it's like 15, the hole after the double basket hole, where you've got, it's a straight shot, it's a little bit downhill, but like you can't really swing a disc around. You need it to go straight and then fade over. That's an Ursus all day for me. Like when I came down there and played it, I almost aced that hole with the Ursus because that just is the shape that it does. So that's kind of where I'll use it for. The other time it really came in handy was playing New London a couple weeks ago for like pitch outs that I needed to get a little bit of skip and not go super far. You know, I'll use it for like spike hyzers to get over stuff. It's kind of a utility disc for me, but it's still, you know, reliable when I need it. My go-to shot is, what can I throw that's just the straight gap to the basket? Like 9 times out of 10, that's what I'm trying to find. So I don't do a lot of like hang it out to the right and let it crash often if I can avoid it, just because that's my play style. But it's, I'd rather have it and not need it than need it and not have it, you know?
Yeah. And that is what I would tell people. If you, when I think of that utility disc world, and the Ursus didn't make my bag, not because it's not a great disc, but because that slot is very utility-esque for me. Like when I think about all the greater Birmingham area, so we have 10 to 15 courses that includes. And when I think of holes that I'm like, oh, I'm going to throw that slot on that hole, I can think of literally three tee shots, and two of them are on the same course, but I can think of three tee shots across all of that I use that disc. And so if I don't play those courses or play those layouts very often where I need that shot, that utility slot for me becomes something of like, I'm not going to be dialing that in at all times. And so when you go to it, you want to have that comfort in the disc. So if you do not have that shot in your bag yet, the Ursus 100%, I think you should try it. Foundationdisc.com. I'm pretty sure. Do we have Ursi still?
Yep. Looking at them right now.
So if you, foundationdisc.com, you can use Foundation Care. So it's literally a risk-free thing to try that disc out. And I would say give it a chance, because it very well could fight in
it's
there.
It's a good disc. It's really a good disc.
If you've got a forehand, a lot of the people who are on Team Terminal Velocity with me, you know, if you're a forehand player, if you're a flex thrower, the Ursus is definitely a disc for you. It's a mid that will hold up to a powerful forehand or a flex shot.
Yeah. 9 times out of 10. Yeah. Because if I'm having to throw a backhand with that slot, normally I just disc up to my Felon and let it do the same thing on a backhand, because the Felon's going to skip harder than the Ursus anyways, like just because of that bladed rim, things like that.
Yeah. So, one of the reasons I don't bag a Felon Firebird type disc is because I would get a lot of early releases with them, and the Ursus, I can get to almost that same distance, but it's chunkier and it doesn't fall out of my hand as I'm swinging it.
Yeah. So could be resonating with a lot of people right now. Could be resonating with a lot of people. So, all right. So I want to, like I said, I want to make sure that we get the time to kind of discuss,
I'm chatty.
No. I want the chattiness, Wes. Hear me when I say that. Yeah. I just want it to be, I want to make sure that we're not going to get to like, oh snap, it's like 45 minutes into this episode, and we haven't talked about the recommendation disc, because I think it's going to be, we already know basically what Brad's going to recommend, but I want to just like give, because I know that we've talked about this possibility of the disc before, and while I think that your fairways from an outside perspective, I still believe, even as your coach, that your fairway drivers are the most confusing part of your bag. Like, it bewilders me. But I also know for you that, like, all of those discs are so dialed in for you that, like, there is not your, there's no shot confusion in your head when you're walking up, because you're like, oh, this does this, this does this, this does this. It's all thought through really well. So what I got to do is I got to get you to come on my channel to talk about that, just because I think that we can give more light to it.
Okay, whatever.
There. Quick highlight that I really want to talk about is honestly the Cervini Roadrunner It Trio.
Okay.
Like, just because, once again, I think when you get into your Exoduses, like, they are all so perfectly seasoned, even to the one that I know you like lost and had to come back to you. Like, what a great moment that was. But your Dynasties and your Thundies, like I said, we can spend 45 minutes just talking about those six discs. Yeah. So I know that neither of us have the self-control to keep ourselves from that. So talk to me about Cervini Roadrunner It, because that side of the bag, I think people just try to throw one disc at it and they're like, all right, I got it covered.
Yeah.
Check.
So, I mean, a lot of that comes from not having a forehand. So one of the things that I find myself doing a lot is a hyzer flip that will stand up and then turn. And one of the things that I've gotten pretty decent at, I think, for my rating, my skill level, is knowing how much hyzer to give a certain disc so that it turns at the right time. So it hits the gap when you need it to hit the gap past the certain tree. So, like, even if you go down to my mids, Stingray, Rolo's kind of a utility disc going the other direction. That's what it comes down to, is what those are. Like, the Roadrunner is in and out of the bag, I'd say more. It's in the bag currently, so I listed it on there. There was a while where I was like, hey, let's just lean into the It, you know, and then let's lean into the Cervini for longer shots. And then there would just come times where I was like, you know, I need a little more distance and flip than, and a little more flip than the Cervini will give me, a little more distance than the It will give me. Just to shout them out at the same time, the Cervini is also made by Terminal Velocity Discs. I bagged their entire lineup, the Ursus and the Cervini. it is a flippy 10 speed. It's kind of like an Avenger SS, I would guess. Maybe like a Beast, little flippier Beast, that kind of range, but it's a hyzer flip to go. That one I can get some decent distance on. I would say, especially like in the woods, my 10 speeds are what I reach for the most. They give me control plus distance. I've always thought of fairway and control drivers as kind of a different slot, but I know a lot of people disagree with that. That's kind of where those go. The Roadrunner, you know, if I need a roller, I can also work on that. The Rolo as well. The Rolo is just fun. And like, if you haven't thrown a Rolo, it's a good time. But yeah, that's kind of how all those work out. Is, like I said, I try to take, you know, my five, the spine of my bag, what goes down the middle there, and then say, okay, what's a flippier version of this? What's a more stable version of this? And go all the way up.
Yeah. No, that's, I am here for that. I've told people quite often, when they're like newer to the game, they're like, I need a forehand. I need a forehand. I need a forehand. And I'm like, while I agree with that, learn turnover backhands as soon as you possibly can. Because if you have a forehand, it's so much easier to just forego the turnover backhand to just like try to finesse a forehand to do that. And there are just shots where the turnover backhand is the play, even if like a forehand could work there.
Kind of yeah, they're not replaceable shot shapes. Like there's definitely times where I'm like, man, I really wish I had a forehand here because, you know, if I turn this over as far as it needs to go right, I'm risking it cut rolling back, you know? So it's,
yeah,
they're definitely both needed skills, especially the higher you get into disc golf.
Yeah. Or, and I mean, and the converse of that is I need to throw a forehand here, but there's no way for me to throw the forehand and have it move in that direction without just fading out and dumping at the same time.
Yeah. The slow pan turnover is a beautiful thing.
That's where I think I'm, again, where I'm starting to grow is like being able to tell the difference between those two. I think I'm just now starting to get it after 3 years of playing. I'm like, oh, they're not the same shot. Okay. That makes sense now. Especially like a place like New London, I think you really, where you have like a high skill level of like course design, you really see like, okay, that's the difference between these two shots.
Well, like you look at hole three. I was going to say hole three is a turnover. It's not a forehand because you've got OB to the right. You throw that spiking forehand and it skips OB. There you go. There's another bogey for you after the and three you've already taken.
Yeah. Yeah, you try to throw the pushing forehand and you're like, well, I'll just throw something that stands up a little bit and it stands up at all. And that back wall comes into play so fast. Like that is of the first three holes. That is the hole that I fear the most every single time, because I'm like, I should be able to birdie this. But by golly, am I just going to grip lock this turnover just straight OB anyway?
But then you go to hole four, and hole four is a forehand. The turnover does not work great there unless you get real sneaky through some trees.
Yeah. Because once again, that back wall, you need the space. Yeah. So it's just you identify, see the places, things like that. So let's talk upper end of the bag here. We're gonna go up to this realm. Let's talk about you have the Pharaoh, the Emperor, and the Wraith on one side, but the gap is pretty obvious on the flippy side of things, and I know that's what you lost. So as you talk about the three discs on that side, talk about what the disc that you lost does to hopefully help Brad see what we were going for.
Yeah, so the Wraith I would kind of slot as my overstable Aztec. It's an 11 speed, the Aztec's a 10, but that's kind of where I mentally think of it is, hey, this is an Aztec shot, but it's into the headwind, go with the Wraith. Whereas my 12 and 13 speeds would be like the next slot up. So, the Emperor being a destroyer type disc, the Pharaoh being a straighter version of that. This is just my opinion. I'm 90% sure that the Charger that Innova came out with last year is just a Pharaoh that they wanted to sell at Innova's store instead of just at Infinite. It's a -1/2, which is my
hot takes.
It's my favorite flight number of a disc is a -1/2. I love those numbers. It's a little fast for my arm, I think, most of the time, but it was the headwind version of the disc that I lost, which was a 167 star turn that I had been beating in for 3 years or so. It was a hyzer flip to, like, I would throw it on 25, 30 degrees of hyzer. It would flip up, cruise, turn, and then that two fade would kick in at the end and it would fight out. Most of the time on the course, if I'm going to hit 400 and it's a flat ground, calm wind situation, that's the disc I'm throwing. And that's the shot shape I'm throwing. That hyzer flip shot is honestly where I feel comfortable. My execution of it isn't always great. You know, Rob and I have talked. I swing on hyzer and then I drop my arm as soon as I release the disc. So it kind of comes out a little flatter than, or possibly Annie, but that one was one that I definitely would make sure that I swung, finished on hyzer. And it's a sad day that I don't have it. Mm-hmm. But you know, it gave me an opportunity to be here today. So I guess I'm grateful for that. And
oh, you're about to be grateful. That's all I got to say.
Well, and that's, you know, one of the things I'm into Birdie Fam. Shout out to the Birdie Fam. Birdie Fam's great. I asked for some recommendations, tried to be like, all right, I could very easily just get another turn, work on it, get it beaten in, you know, go for a strike, something like that, which, you know, I've thrown both of those. And I was like, let's try. I'm a little plastophobic. I like Innova made plastic, if you can't tell. It feels the best in my weird hands. I don't know. I don't like the feel of Discraft. Most Trilogy feels kind of cheap to me in the hand. Don't know why. It just does. I like the Innova plastic. MVP being a second, as you can tell by my one MVP disc that I bag. I figured let's open it up, see what options present themselves, and worst case scenario, if I hate it, I can always go buy another turn at Dick's Sporting Goods whenever I want. Or at FoundationDisc.com.
That's what I was going to recommend.
My point being, it's very easily available to find a turn.
Yeah.
That's true. So, today, we tried the Enigma from Discmania.
Okay.
This was brand new. I found in the used bin. I thought it was pretty sick. And then the Strive from Latitude 64. So that was a fun day. It was a fun field work day. Robbie, I'll let you kind of take it and guide the conversation, because I don't want to straight fanboy this immediately.
Yeah. I'll save the comment that I, because I think I actually texted you before you threw. I put some high expectations on one of these discs. The big thing is I want blank to be included, because I think, I'll share that comment at the end. So let's talk about plastic feel, because for our plastophobic friend who is, you know, averse to those, we have two discs coming out of the Trilogy warehouse, the House of Discs.
House of
area, I guess we can officially call it now, instead of like, oh, it's
the,
just
the Trilogy. Duplex of factories.
Yeah.
I call them Pentology now, not Trilogy. So just
they're gonna keep buying brands. Like, I feel it. They're gonna become the gateway of Europe. Like, they just make everybody's stuff. So, talk about. He said the cheapness of plastic, and honestly, as someone who all my drivers are Trilogy, and honestly, specifically DD, I realized that the other day, like, I don't have any like Latitude or West Side. Right. It's just all DD. Talk about the feel of these two plastics and comparisons you might make to other plastic types.
Should I do like ASMR? Like, yeah. So that's the Enigma. So I will say the Enigma, I mean, it's neoplastic, I believe, is what this one is. And it feels fine. Like, it just feels like maybe not quite as stiff as Champ, maybe like a little bit more gummy, but not much. So it's like very similar to like a Champ. And then I will say, like, I'll get there in a second. Anything from the new like Royal line and Latitude 64 is maybe the best plastic I've ever felt, to be honest with you. It's not too gummy. It's not too stiff. It's not slick. It just feels smooth. I guess it's the way I would describe it. It's just smooth. I will say rim wise feel. So I believe the Enigma is a 12 speed, right, Robbie?
Yes. I think so. Yeah.
Sorry, flame us in the comments, but I forgot. Jason actually even told me before I left, and I forgot already. But the Enigma feels like a way wider rim than the Strive, which is a 13 speed, which is kind of fun. Also, like, there's something about the Strive that like really feels okay. Is obviously wider than a fairway, but what I'm getting at is, like, you know how like a fairway has like that like kind of sleek nose almost, like it feels that way. It doesn't feel like I'm throwing a high speed disc, really, which is awesome.
That's one of the things I like about 10 speeds generally, is it'll go far, but it doesn't feel super clunky in your hand.
I think it's why I like the Vulture so much, to be honest with you, because it has that feel. But for visual people here, like you see, there's not a lot of dome or anything. It's just like pretty sleek. The Enigma even has a little bit more dome to it. You can kind of see there if you're watching. Also, the Enigma has like a, it's not a rough like bevel on the bottom, but just enough that I kind of notice it. It's not a bead, right? But there's like enough plastic there that I notice it, whereas the Strive I do not. They both are good feeling discs, but if I had to like give one to the other, like Strive definitely feels better than the Enigma. And I like Neoplastic for what it's worth. I throw a Neo Origin.
Yeah. Now, interesting. Flight numbers on the Enigma, 12.5 minus 1.2.
Mm.
So
Wes's favorite.
Wes's I do favorite. Like those numbers.
Interesting.
For all of us.
Yeah, exactly. That's, exactly. That's the beauty of flight numbers.
Other companies, but.
Yeah.
So you got to the field, you throw them. And one of the things here is we got to remember, like we're talking distance drivers. So Brad, you had the potential to throw far, but I would say it's definitely been something we've talked about, even on podcast, outside of podcast, of you kind of removing some of these faster discs from your bag out of a, like, yes, you can get distance out of them sometimes, but it's just easier to get distance out of your 10 speeds or your 9 speeds, things like that. So what was kind of your like thought process heading into the field knowing like it's distance driver time?
Well, it's funny because I took 2 fun discs to throw today, which I don't normally do for field work, but they're the new Proto Drive, which is an 11 speed, and then the OLF, which I think is a 9 speed. Maybe
I'm 90% sure that the OLF is very similar to that Aztec that I throw. I think it's a 10.
It might be a 10.
It might be the same disc.
All I knew is I felt it. I'm like, this feels really good. I should try. I want to throw this. And Jason and I have talked about throwing it a few times. So I'm like, I'll throw it. But what I wanted to do, because I knew it's like sort of flippy, but not like super flippy. I was trying to get in my mindset of like, okay, here's 2 discs that are supposed to be flippy, but they're still distance drivers. Throw those to get warmed up and then throw these like 12 and 13 speeds. So that was my mentality today was, okay. And then like the Strive, theoretically, I'm like, okay, well, this should be like Destroyer-esque, right? Like, you know, it's probably going to be beefy for me because I mean, Destroyers are very beefy for me. Same thing with the Enigma. Like, I'm like, okay, these are going to be all beefy, right? So not true, which kind of surprised me. But we'll get there. But that was kind of my expectation was I'm not going to be able to throw these very far. They're going to be beefy. Maybe we're looking for like a wind fighter. I knew you throw farther than me, Wes. So I'm like, obviously Wes throws farther than me. So maybe we're like taking that into consideration. So I wasn't exactly sure other than the one comment Robbie made about one of these discs. But that didn't like give me anything.
So wait,
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I need that long flight flippy boy. That's what I'm needing here. So,
yeah.
OLF, when we say Orion LF, yeah. I'm guessing.
Yeah, same thing.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. 9.5 minus 1.2.
So maybe it's a dynasty.
There you go. Yeah. So yeah, again, those discs aren't necessarily important to this, but I felt like I needed discs to throw with these ones today for whatever reason, just to like show me where I'm going, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Totally. So you get out there, you throw both of them. Initial thoughts after your first few throws.
So Enigma pretty much threw exactly like I expected it to. And it was definitely overstable. Not as overstable as I thought it was going to be, but it was definitely overstable for me. The Strive, like magic, like straight magic. Like I threw it the first time. Because again, I'm expecting this to be like beefy, like whatever. I throw it, it flips and turns and goes forever and then fades out at the end. And I was like, well, okay, maybe that was like a fluke, right? I mean, you can go back and watch the live. Wes, I know you ducked out because you didn't want any spoilers. So I don't know if you saw me throw it the first time or not, but I was like,
I want to go back and watch it afterwards. If it's
available. Go back and watch it after this. It's live on the In the Bag Instagram. And I was like, okay, that was really good. Maybe that's a fluke, right? So I actually went to my OG location today because I knew, I was like, hopefully I have some distance, but I need some like freedom to throw these discs. I don't want to go through a van window or go into the woods or anything like that. So it's at a football field, and I was like, wow, like I almost got this like end zone first throw. Great. This is, I shouldn't be able to do this. And then I proceeded to just like the next several throws of this thing, just get progressively further and further, sorry, farther and farther down the field. And they were just like, I could throw, I wasn't even hitting this thing at like full power. I'm hitting it like 75% and like kind of smoothing it. And it's like turning forever and then fading, like having a nice fade at the end. It was like pretty incredible. It felt good coming out of my hand. I didn't feel like I had to kill it, which is what I usually feel like with a distance driver, which is why I stay away from them. And the flight is just so good. Even on like throwing it on Annie, it held the Annie, but it came out at the end. So it's like not a disc I'm going to be worried about like turning over at all. Especially, I would say someone like you, Wes, who has more angle control than I do, you're going to really be able to like manipulate this disc. Like it's going to be like a workhorse, I think, for you, because I'm still shocked at like how well I threw it, how great the flight was, and how much easy distance I got with it. Like, I don't know, I would, other than my, like my FD, like my beaten FD, it's kind of like easier distance for me, but I've not really experienced that out of a driver before. It was kind of incredible. And I would say for whatever my opinion's worth on the flight numbers, completely wrong. Completely wrong. I would say probably -1.2 is probably more accurate, or like, maybe like negative for me. Yeah, -1.2 is probably, I would give it like 6 glide because it just like stayed in the air forever. And I don't think it feels like a 13 speed personally.
So for this slot, I know even Wes mentioned in like, there's confidence in your control drivers. You can throw those, but sometimes the shot calls for it. You can open up, you can see the flight of the disc, things like that. Like,
right.
I feel like when we've talked about your game plan, even playing courses, Wes, it's like, okay, is it worth going up to the Pharaoh, or is it worth going up to the Emperor, things like that, or even bringing the turn into play, stuff like that? Because if thrown well, it's going to be perfect for that shot. But if you throw your Aztec or your Dynasty, if you throw those poorly, it's still going to be an overall better shot. So, Brad, obviously, the reason you don't just throw it once and go like, all right, cool, let's recommend this disc. You throw it several times. Mm-hmm. How did they fly if you didn't get a hold of the Enigma, or if you didn't get a hold of the Strife?
I would say the Enigma, if I didn't get a hold of it, just is overstable. Like just exactly what I expected it to. So I did feel like I really had to get behind the Enigma to even get some straightness out of it, which I could. It just took more effort. Even the Strive, if I didn't super get a hold of it, I still got turn and I still got fade. Like it wasn't like I had to like kill it to get this flight. Like it just was pretty, again, I think I said this on the live, it wasn't effortless, but it was easy, which is nice. So yeah, I didn't feel like it was gonna slip out of my hand. I also didn't feel like I had to like just like yank it and like grip lock it into infinity to get it to do what I wanted it to do, which is really nice.
So Wes, you're hearing all this. What are your thoughts about what could be going down?
I mean, my initial thought is this better not awaken anything in me. You know, like I don't. Yeah.
He's a trilogy guy now.
Yeah, I can't afford to switch. Completely switch over.
Yeah, we'll check back in a month, and you're just like latitude 64 only.
I've got bazooka glasses, and I'm just now.
Yeah, right.
No, I mean the Strive has come highly recommended from a lot of people. One guy locally did say, "Oh, it's more stable than some people let on," but I. That's one guy. Other people have said, oh, no, it'll fly like your turn, or it'll fly, you know, similar to that. This is definitely one that, upon recommendation, was in consideration. A couple of the other discs that I was, like, thinking about trying were, like, you know, a Wave, a Mystere, you know, other things like that that maybe won't take as long to beat in to the turn. Like maybe if it's a little bit slower, it'll give me a little more turn out of the box kind of deal. But no, it sounds awesome. I mean,
yeah, I would be very surprised if you weren't turning this very easily immediately.
Yeah.
Like again, I got a tiny baby arm and I was like turning it pretty easily. And it was pretty effortless distance for me. So like, I really feel like it's going to be like, it may not like solve your heartache of the turn, but it's going to be, I think it's going to be close based on what you described it as.
All right. Sounds good for sure. And also props to Robbie for keeping the second disc a secret and then having that disc be the Enigma. I mean, just kudos. Mm-hmm. The wordplay is fantastic.
I'm a content creator, Wes, is what I do. You know, I'm here for the mystery. So, well, Wes, we want to say thanks for coming on, man. Really appreciate you. All you do for me, for the Birdie fam, for Team Atlas, and excited for you to get these discs and hopefully it fills a need.
Well, I hope it does as well. And, you know, just for the benefit of the audience, keep supporting these dudes. They're two of the best guys I've ever met in the sport of disc golf. Genuine, giving, just team in the bag. Team Robbie, Team Brad, Team Atlas. Support them. Buy their stuff. Just do it. They deserve it.
We appreciate you, man. Thank you so much. We can't wait to have you back on and see how this does. This will be one we got to like earmark, Robbie. We're like, we got to get Wes back on in a bit. I got to know. This one I have to know. I'm sure you'll let us just know, but we got lots of people.
I have ways of contacting you. I'll send a smoke signal or something.
Yeah, right.
When it lands in your yard in Lynchburg, because I threw it, 3 hours south, then you'll know.
Right. It's possible. You know, airstreams, thermodynamics, physics, science, chemistry, it'll happen. But we'll see you, Wes. Thanks for coming on,
man. Yes, sir. Thank you, guys.
Okay. Right. Now that guy's gone, I love Wes. So grateful for
great
him.
Great dude. He's done a lot for everybody, and he does a lot for his disc golf in his area, too. So good. Absolutely. Dude. I have to say, there's not a ton of times I feel this way, but this is like one of those times I'm like really having a hard time like sending that exact disc to Wes. I'm like,
do I describe another strive and send it to him?
I might have to. I don't know. I don't know that I can listen. If we don't have like one that's the exact like similar one, I'll send him this one. But like, I'm like, I feel like I really like unlock something today. And I know it's probably not that disc. Right. I mean, that exact disc. But
yeah.
I feel like I'm sending like my C-Line FD to him, and which I would do that for Wes. But I'm having a hard time. I'm having some separation anxiety with this strive today because I'm just like, did I just change everything? I don't know.
I will say if you end up sending him another one thing that I have found with the Royal line is that similarly to the C-Line stuff where the color does have some effect on it, send him a blue one if you do not send that original one, because definitely important. The quote that I'll share now that we've walked through it is I said the big thing that I want, because normally how this works, y'all, is I will send Brad a list of like 5-6 molds and I'm like, we should need two of these. And lots of times I'll send like, I really want, like, I usually whatever I send first in that list Brad usually includes, because there's a reason usually that I like put it first in the list, kind of a deal. But there have been times where it's like, well, we just don't have the first two discs that are listed, so we end up going down the line. And so part of this is I thought the strive could fit Wes's need. So I actually texted Jason before I even texted Brad to be like, Jason, do y'all have strives in stock? Because if you do, go ahead and grab one. And so he sent a picture and he put it on ABB's desk. And so when I texted Brad, I texted him all the lists and I was like, the strive and the Enigma, which were the first two choices. And then I said the X3, the Curl, the Gateway Journey. And I said, but the big thing is I want the strive included because I think that it has the potential to be the disc of the year.
I would not argue after throwing that today. I would not argue. And I'll be honest, that statement made me very hypercritical of it because I was like, okay, that's pretty high praise. We got it. Again, it's a 13 speed. I'm like, okay, maybe the disc of the year for Robbie or something, right? Or maybe the disc of the year for people that can throw 13 speeds, but it's a good disc. I mean, that may be one of the better discs I've ever thrown on in the bag.
My first time that I threw the strive, Trilogy House of Discs or whatever, one of their marketing guys basically sent out this email in like November and was like, hey, we have this Royal box coming out, and it has the Strive prototype, the Brave prototype. It had like an Honor in a special plastic, a Glory in a special plastic, or it was a mitt, and then two putters, whatever they're the Savior. Yeah, it was a Savior in base plastic, and then some like a Hope or something. But anyways, so they sent it out and they were like, if you want one of these boxes, just let us know. We appreciate you as creators. If you want to make content with it, fantastic, please do. But we also just want you, this to be in your hands so that you can hype the discs up when they come out. So I signed up for a box and I filmed a video with it. And I forgot to record, like hit record on my mics. So I shot the whole video, no audio. And I'm just kicking myself because my first throw with the Strive, I didn't look at the flight numbers. I just pulled them out of the box and ripped it. And I was like, I'll throw it on Heiser, big spike Heiser line. It stood up, it flexed out. And it was well over 400 feet for me. Like I hit a fence that was never in my mind a possibility. And I was like, this disc is kind of gross. Okay, cool. So, yeah, Strive is nuts, y'all. And they're in the warehouse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Along with a lot of other stuff. Right. So yeah, quickly going through, we have quite a few things. Hey, if you haven't signed up for our text deals yet, make sure you do that. We had a very special release this week that you cannot buy on our site. You can only buy vending or in person in our store, and we open up to text deal folks. So it's free to sign up to that. We send out a text deal every week. If you're a Heiser Club member, you get that deal early, and early access to that deal ahead of everybody. But we send those deals out every Wednesday. And you never know what's going to be in there. It could be stuff for like way discounted. It could be like new releases before maybe it would be foundation releases, right? But before they drop on Friday, new apparel, new merch, whatever, new accessories. You never know what you're going to get in there. So yeah, this week was really cool. So make sure you sign up for those. Speaking of like Strive and things like that, we had a huge trilogy restock. We had Braves and Strives and Explorers and all kinds of very cool trilogy, a lot of tour series stuff. The Yakut Cimarron Brave looks so sick. I'm staying away from the Brave because I know the minute I throw another Brave, I'm gonna love it and I'm gonna want to throw it. So that's, I gotta stay away from. But if you don't have like an FD like disc in your bag, that's gonna be a great one for you to try.
And there's Kevin Kiefer Orbit Strives, right? I'm pretty sure that's Kevin's disc. I'll look it up. You keep going. I'll have an answer for that.
It's an Orbit. It's a tour one, but they look amazing. Yeah, Yaku might have been a different one now that I think about that. Anyway, all those new discs, they're up on the site, ready and available. A ton of Orbit, some Kristen Graces, Silverlot Rives, all that stuff's up there. We've been filling in some like random stock disc crafts, some like ESP and Z stuff that we haven't had for a minute. It's going up on there. New apparel is up on the site. We've got Jester disc on the site. We put some new mint on there. Right now we're kind of in that season of like releases are happening. We're restocking. We're getting like regular stock pushed back in because of the, summer season. New patches, new minis, you name it. It's all on the site. Again, recently restocked is always your best friend. So make sure you're checking that out. And yeah, make sure you, I think all the in the bag stuff sold out. Thank you all so much for disc wise. Thank you so much for that. Make sure you pick up a mini and a patch. We have those along with any of your favorite foundation podcasts or brands. We have all that sitting in there and, looking forward to, we've got a lot of fun stuff in the works. We have some custom stamp stuff for the text deals only. We've got other custom stamp stuff coming in for you Berg fans, just spoiler there, so keep an eye out for that. But in the meantime, check it out. Check if you're in the US, you can check out any new disc, any new molds risk-free with Foundation Care. It's just as simple as buying the disc that automatically is included if you're a US customer, and if you throw it and you don't love it, you just fill out the form on the website. Jason will get you a gift card sent out. You can purchase a disc that you know and love. But if you go try that disc out and you love it, what are they going to do with it, Robbie?
If it's good, you keep it in the bag. We have Tour Series Strive, Kevin Kiefer. Tour Series Brave, Yakub Cimarron, Rives, and the Graces. Y'all, these discs, and Glories, and Claymores,
yep,
and Trusts. Guys, it's nuts.
These it's wild right now.
Beautiful.
Yeah, there I can't even keep track of all of them. So
there is a black Tour Series Shrive that is available, y'all. Someone needs to buy that Frisbee. Yes. It is gorgeous. Yes. Gorgeous. So, all right. If it's good, keep it in the bag. These are definitely going in our bag. We will see you guys for episode 102. See ya.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.